from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Crossing Fences. African-American boys and young men creating oral history showcasing the lives and accomplishments of local African-American men.
Pittsburgh was good for me all the way around. I never miss a beat.
I was born and raised in Bel Suver.
Money don't make a happy man.
I wasn't born in
a happy man can go and make some money.
The fact that we had to go to black schools, couldn't eat in a restaurant.
To shine. And I shine with my mind, and I stay on my grind.
From anesthesiologists to barbershop owners, entrepreneurs to engineers, and coaches to deacons, over 170 men have been interviewed. Today, let's hear from Charlie Batch, age 42 at the time of this interview.
I was born in 1974. I grew up here in Homestead and grew up in the steel mill days. So a lot of steel mill, steel workers that lived in Homestead. I saw that because my family worked in the steel mills. And then at that point, growing up, we played a lot of basketball and making my mom made sure that I was in school, keeping those grades up and doing everything that I needed to do because that was her main focus more than sports. Now, I went to Barrett Elementary School. Being kids around here, you know, it's probably similar to what a lot of other kids were because when you're riding bikes, of course, everybody wants to ride downhill, but you had to pedal your way back uphill at some point. So we've learned to strengthen our legs by doing that. I grew up in a single-parent household. So for me to see that, because there was a lot of other kids and families that were in that particular situation, I thought that was normal. I understand it was tough. That was something that made my mother stronger because she had to provide, and she was my mother and my father. Middle school started off as a struggle because I was the class clown. In sixth grade, end of the school year, everybody got called. It was about, probably about 25 people that got called down to the guidance counselor's office. The guidance counselor comes out and he says, I just want to congratulate you all because you all failed sixth grade. I had to walk home to mom's house. And I remember that conversation like it was yesterday. I wasn't allowed to play football that entire summer. And she made me go to summer school. And from there, I had a tutor that was coming in, so I had to pass two classes that I needed to pass in order to be able to play football. And if I didn't, then she wouldn't allow me. That was the first time that I realized sports and education go hand in hand. And at that point, I never failed another class. The one person that inspired me was my mother, because she was the one that I spent the majority of my time with. She was the one that went out there and made sure that she provided everything that we thought we needed. And more. She wanted to make sure that I was able to balance sports and education. And that's why she always made sure that she attended those parent-teacher conferences. Because a lot of times I wasn't bringing home those papers that they give you that you're supposed to hand to your mom. You know, so she had to go through my book bag, making sure that she stayed up to speed to make sure that she was able to do everything that I was required to do and more. There was single-parent issues that were going on, and she was able to identify. Maybe we were able to talk about it so I wasn't keeping it bottled in. You know, have fun, educate yourself. I mean, one thing I always stress is education, and that's what we are from a foundation standpoint. We're an educational foundation because at some point, sports will be taken away from all of us, no matter how long you prolong it. For me, I was just able to prolong it for 31 years. I started playing football when I was 7, and then from there, I went to high school, college, and then played 15 years in the professional level. So to play 31 years. And now here I am sitting in front of you as that former Steeler, and I knew the inevitable was going to happen. So I started preparing myself and making sure that I was taking continuing education classes for that. When that moment came for me to transition away from the game, I was prepared. The changes that I've seen in the neighborhood, well, from the time that I was growing up to now, obviously, you know, you have a lot more gang violence. You have drugs. That wasn't an issue when I was growing up. When you're a young child and you're seeing the fast money, and it's easy to kind of go down that direction, but you want to make sure that you got to put that work in. And for me to be able to stand there in front of a kid and say, listen, I did it. And what you see was the end result as a professional football player. But I had to go to school. I had to go out there and educate myself. So you can't always be that guy that's so hard-headed. And that was tough for me at an early age to do so. But as the more that I really opened up and really just sat down and listened, it allowed me to grow as a person and as a leader. I went to Steel Valley High School, and then from Steel Valley High School, I ended up going to Eastern Michigan University. Best day of my life, graduating college. That was something for me that was important because it was the first in my family to ever be done. And walking across that stage, knowing how proud my mother was of me, she's crying and tears are coming down her face. And, you know, to be able to share that moment with her, it was a moment that I would never forget. Worst day of my life, losing my sister. She was walking down the street from a friend's house. And she got caught in crossfire between rival gangs. And the guy that she was with used her as a body shield. And my sister was shot and killed instantly. She was 17 years old. And she never had an opportunity to live life. Whenever that happened, you know, it was the worst day. But at the same time, I said to myself, if I was ever in position to give back, I would. And that's where I focus all my time and energy. And I said, I would never want another family to feel the way that we did. And being able to start the foundation, and here we are 15 years later, servicing over 3,300 kids, trying to pull kids off of the street and give them better opportunities than what they currently have, that's self-fulfilling to me. And to sit here and still stand here to this day and turning something that was tragic into triumph, that was important to me. A lot of people don't know that story, and it's not something that I talk about freely, but when I sit here and knowing that something that happened a few blocks from here, but at the same time knowing a few blocks up the street is a cemetery that I have to pass every single day, knowing that my sister is still in that cemetery. It's a struggle, and it took me a long time to be able to ride through that cemetery to be able to go to my mother's house. I used to go around it. Now I'm able to go through it because I'm healed. I understand what happened. That's very important. And that's why we do a lot of the programs that we do. And I'm there every single day. Stay hungry. Always continue to learn. Find a mentor in your area. Find a mentor in the business that you can look forward to and watching and listening to every single day. And take a piece of what they're doing. Craft it. Create your own niche in the market. And go out here and continue to have fun.
This oral history was collected by youth interviewers Zion Thomas, Deshaun Washington, and George Grisham. Crossing Fences is made possible by the Heinz Endowments and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at slbradio.org.